Welcome to Blue Collar BS, a podcast that busts the popular myth that we can't find good people, highlighting how the different generations of today, the boomers, Gen X, millennials, and Gen Z, are redefining work so that the industrial revolution that started in the U.S. stays in the U.S.
Hey everyone, welcome back to this episode of Blue Collar BS. I am your co-host Brad, along with the great Michigander,
Steve.
There you go.
Steve.
There you go. You remembered your name. It's good to have you back, Mr. Doyle.
It's great to be back, Brad.
And I know you've been out and you've got college tour things, and you'll hear about those in episodes later when you're not around. And all those fun things. And welcome to that part of parenthood. It can be fun, but yet stressful.
I don't really stress about it. It's more fun watching my wife and daughter stress about it. That's just me. So
there's that empathy coming out.
Yeah, the strong empathy card coming.
Strong empathy characteristics from a leadership perspective. That is a strength of yours, Mr. Doyle. For sure.
Yeah, if you need empathy, look somewhere else.
Don't look here.
Check
behind the closet door. There might be some hanging out there.
Well, if you need sympathy and compassion, you're going to need to go somewhere else. If you want me to understand a situation but not give a shit, then let's have a conversation.
Hold my beer.
Exactly. I'm going to go do something stupid now. So,
Mr. Doyle, what are we talking about today? Which kind of comes down this. Interrelates a little bit, I think,
it from does our a little bit.
Conversation. But yeah. What are we talking about today, sir?
So let's talk about task management and avoidance of things.
Well, what if I don't want to do it?
Exactly the point. That is exactly the point.
What if I don't want to get up at 5 o'clock and get on the treadmill and go walk for half an hour?
Well, I mean, by all means, you know, sleep in, and then go look in the mirror at the middle of the day or the end of the day and go, why do I still have that spare tire?
It's a semi. I don't know what you're talking about.
I mean, you know, we all have those coulda, woulda, shoulda scenarios like, oh yeah, I wish I could, I want to do, I need to do. Okay. That's great. We all have lists like that, but this has been actually coming up a lot in the conversations I've been having with my various clients around, hey, I've got this, we're so busy. We have this list of things to do, but I just can't seem to get out from underneath all of these things to do. And we all have them. We all, you know, when we look [S2] Right. [S1] In the mirror, we all have these lists, and you could say, yeah, I'm on top of it. I'm on top of everything I'm doing. Oh, bullshit. None of us are. There's just days that we're better at it than others, but
true.
From a consistency standpoint, we're extremely inconsistent, but that's also our human nature. Oh, we are. Mm. Don't give me that.
Mm. Well, depending upon what you want to define. So is inconsistency a version of consistency?
Oh, you got it.
Right.
I am consistently inconsistent.
It's like the only constant thing is change. How can the only constant thing be change if it's always changing?
Correct.
So very similar scenario. I'm just being a dick. So sorry.
You are being, yes, but that's okay. And that's good. That's what we need. So let's walk through any scenario you want. You can even, you know, daydream if you want about, hey, here is my task list of X, Y, and Z, but let's get a little specific here. So let's say we're a project manager for any company you want. Let's call it a manufacturing company and you're a project manager. All right. You're at ABC Gearworks and you've got 10 machining lines.
Okay.
You have 8 of those machining lines. They run consistently. The same type of gear runs on these 4-axis machines. You have half of them are 5-axis machines and they're always running the same part consistently. And so, you know the inner workings day in, day out. It becomes easy, monotonous, but it's easy. Customer calls and says, hey, can I speed this up? Can I move part 1, 2, 3 in front of 8, 10, 12? Okay, sure, we can do that because we can just take this chunk and move it here. We can shift things around. You need 250 of these. Yes, we can work through all of that. Okay, great. Now your sales team brings you, hey, we just won this huge award. It needs to run on machine ABC. And that is one of the machines that infrequently runs. And
great. And we filled up capacity that we needed to fill. Perfect. God bless the sales team.
Yeah, we've done all that stuff. Now you turn it over to the project management team to go, hey, we have this thing, but we need only Bill can run this machine. Only Susan can run this machine.
The only
scenario. And Bill's out this week and Susan doesn't really, she's over here working on, she's over on the high volume machines working with everybody else to get these things running smoothly. So now it comes down to, okay, I either have to A, break the bad news, or, oh, this other sales guy just
break what bad news? What's the bad news?
Well, I don't have anybody to run it.
Of course you do.
Well, I do, but they're out. And now I got to go talk to them. I got to go have a conversation with somebody to tell them I'm not going to be able to hit that timeline. So, you know what? Instead of that, I'm just going to let that sit over here because, yeah, I know I got to go do that. But you know what? That's going to require a little energy, a little effort. And I just don't want to have that conversation. And all I want, I just got another sales order in to go on the high volume machine. And you know what? I know that in and out. I'm just going to go take care of that first. Oh, guess what? We all do things like that in our lives where it's like, this is going to require a little bit more work, a little bit more. And I just don't want to do this right now. So I'm just going to put this over here. I know I got to do it. I'll get to it, but I'm going to go do this over here. Okay. So now I've got this other sales order that I can just, okay, I can take 10 minutes. I'm going to plug this in and I get that done. I'm going to go take a break. I'm going to go over here and I'm going to go see how everything's running. And then I'm going to go walk by that machine that I got to get set up. And I'm really going to think about, okay, what am I going to say? How are we going to get this going? Oh, but wait, you know that the plant manager just walked by and asked me about something. So now now we're talking about some other stuff and I've already forgot about, that one machine that needs to run in that sales order here, because now I got tasked with something else that, oh yeah, I can go do that. I can do that. All I'm doing is I'm adding to the procrastination or the habit of
chaos.
Crap. I actually have to stop, think, and work on something that I'm uncomfortable with.
Welcome to hashtag adulting.
Exactly. So that is the scenario. That is scenarios that come up all the time, but it's what actually happens is they compound.
They do. And yes, that is not an uncommon situation in many organizations. I've got an organization
or in personal life
but thanks for pointing that out.
Yeah.
Appreciate you, Steve. Appreciate you.
Harpies.
And there's I am a big fan of one way to help avoid that is touch it once. The touch it once philosophy.
Touch it once.
Careful. Let's not go there. Just stop.
Touch it once.
Right? Stop. Just stop.
Right, not safe for work anymore.
Never was. We are explicit, right? You got the email. Deal with the email till you're done with it, right? The email came in, great. The purchase order is here. I'm going to process it to the end. The sales order came in. I'm going to process it till it's done. I'm going to process it as far as I can go. Put it away. Send out my information and then get it off my desk and wait for and have the response or set the follow up ticker or task list or whatever that is in my system or post-it note or, I'm going to use M&Ms. Every time I get a response back, I get to eat an M&M. Whatever you're going to do for your motivation to go do something, just deal with it till it gets to the point where you can't do anything more with it and then move on. Right.
That's a good put your head down tactic. Put your head down and grind it out.
It is GSD, baby. GSD.
Absolutely. LFG. However, most of us, I will say, shiny object scenario kind of, I'm just waiting for a new email to come in before I can do that. Again, these are what we are
turn your email off. Look at it.
What we're talking about is habits. Right. These are habits. We are now looking as a habit. We are now looking for anything else to do other than the thing. As human right. nature, it's tough. It's difficult. We have built in that mechanism to say, if I don't like it, I just won't have to do it, and I can move on to something else that is easier. We have created that.
Yeah, but so yes, you are true. But go back in from a cultural dynamic as well that comes into play. Mm-hmm. There's lots of other influences along the way, right? So the project manager that wasted the entire day of not dealing with that sales order to get back to the salesman to let him know that holy shit, we got a problem. Okay, if that was day one, cool, right? Fantastic. Mm-hmm. If it's day four and they haven't done it yet, then we got a fucking problem. Because mm-hmm. now we're not doing yep. our job.
Yep.
Right? So,
but aren't we? Because we got everything else done.
No, I haven't processed that other sales order yet. So it's not done yet. So I haven't.
That one's not done, but everything else is. 99% of everything else is done.
Yeah, 99% is not good enough.
Oh, perfection is?
Perfection is a choice sometimes. but completion yep. of the task is right. I got to complete all the orders. If that PM is responsible to get 100% of their orders through their desk, then yes, 100% of the orders through their desk.
Mm-hmm.
100% of the orders through the desk does not mean perfection. It just means 100% of the orders have passed through the desk.
Mm-hmm. I understand this.
Right.
I understand this. So the reason for raising this up is one, yes, we all recognize that these tasks, the task avoidance is real. The one thing that, you know, we can all put our heads down and GSD it out for a period of time.
Correct. And I'm a huge fan of no more than 45 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a huge fan of 45 minutes max on any, right? I'm going to spend 45 minutes on this. Taking care of my emails. I'm going to spend 45 minutes of following up on sales calls. I'm going to take 45 minutes yep. and put in production orders. And then after I did my 45 minutes, I'm going to reward myself by getting up and going out to the floor to see what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Follow up on the thing that I needed to follow up on or walk the shop floor, whatever those things are. But anybody can do most things for 45 minutes with solid concentration.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So it's, what are the things that you recommend to people? And I know you mentioned it a little bit. One of the items was if you're waiting around for something like, hey, I got an email, I need to go work on this, right? Turning your email off. What are some other things that you suggest to people to do to help with task avoidance?
So one of the things that we did, so I was a freak when it came to some process things. Hard to believe, right? I see Kool-Aid man. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
So,
oh yeah.
So we had back when I had my purchasing team, we just got done remodeling our offices and doing a bunch of mm-hmm. lean transformation work and implementing Toyota systems, all the fun things. And our COO at the time was really adamant about what was going out in the shop. And he was really adamant that the millions of dollars we just invested in the new office buildings, we're not going to have it look like a shit show.
Mm-hmm.
So being in the purchasing group and being in a first floor and lower level area, we get a lot of traffic, a lot of things. So yep. we decided to 5S our office areas to the point of where I basically had a rebellion on my hands because everybody's like, what do you mean? We're talking about how many pictures we can have in our office area or where post-it notes should be or where phone should be or how many file racks I can have in my back credenza or
how many pieces of flair you have.
Right. Yes. Right. And that was some of those conversations and everybody was,
yes.
So I started leading those conversations and I'm like, everybody's pissed at me. I'm like, guys, I don't care what you decide, but this is the box we need to live in. Figure it out.
Yep.
So we went through all that. We did all our 5S auditing. We got through the 3 weeks of bullshit and other things. And at the end of the day, we increased productivity by over 35% and reduced our paper consumption by 20%.
Mm-hmm.
Because all that was out on our desk was the things we were working on.
Yeah.
Everything else was put away in the file cabinet or back in the credenza out of the way. So it didn't have the shiny object syndrome of, oh, let me just look at that and let me find that. And if somebody came by to ask a question, okay, I could go find it. And when customers or suppliers came in, they're like, wow, this is really cool. This is really good. How do you guys do this? Oh, we open up the file cabinet drawers and say, oh, here's our audits. Here's what we do. This is what it is. This is what success looks like.
Yep.
And to this day, I still get former colleagues when I talk to them, they're like, that was the stupidest thing you've ever done, but the most effective thing that's ever worked.
Yeah, we'd been through, when I was in corporate automotive or commercial automotive, that was, we moved also into a new space and everything was 5S. This is your layout. This is where everything went. One interesting thing to note when we did that, I opted for nothing on my desk and that brought it a whole new level of what are you doing? Because there was no there was no personalization. There was nothing. It was you only thing on my desk was a pad of paper and my pen, and that was it. The phone was there, the computer was there, that's it. Everything else was put away. There was nothing on the walls, nothing. It was stark. And that brought out a whole different level.
That's a whole different level of like Severance. Have you watched Severance on Apple TV? That's kind of like that. It's just this room of nothingness. It's like, okay. Yep,
pretty much. So, I mean, getting back to this, right? There are things that you can do. You know, on social media, you all see those videos or those memes where somebody tapes something to somebody's back. Hey, please don't talk to me. I'm working on something. You know, honestly, while joking around, some of us have that issue where it's like somebody will interrupt us and we're gone for 45 minutes talking about stuff.
Correct. I had another client I was working with. He had red and green flaps on his wall divider for his cubicle. And if the red was out, don't bother me. If it was green, come on. Right. It's kind of a clue because there was no doors, but they could look down the aisleway because he was back in the corner. If it was red, just send an email or talk to him later. If it was green, walk on by, no big deal. Just to give the trigger of I'm ready for
it. Do not disturb.
That's right. The other thing, if you're a leader, right, you can't always close your door. You can't always be unavailable. You have to be able to say, thank you, Sally. I appreciate the question. Is it okay if I get back to you in 20 minutes? I need to finish this task. It's okay to create the habit of finishing your work to support your team elsewhere. If it's truly important, then Sally should say, no, sir, this can't wait. And you need to define what those urgency priorities are in your decision matrix for, okay, what becomes I drop everything to go take care of this. Just because it's important to Sally doesn't necessarily mean it's important to you, but you can't treat it that way either. You have to be a leader and say, okay, cool. I appreciate it. Thank you for coming by. Can I get back to you in 15 minutes? But then you need to be there in 15 minutes, not 4 hours later.
Right. Yep. Any other advice you have for people?
Get the book Atomic Habits.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's come up my circle as of late too, a little bit. I'm going to start re-listening to that here this week. As I'm out and about tomorrow driving around, and it's like, okay, I'll go back and re-listen to it. And 84,400. Is that the amount of time we get every day per second?
It's somewhere in there.
50 times 60 times 24,
84, 86, something like that.
86,400. Oh. Right. So we all get the same level of opportunity. It's what we do with it that makes the difference.
Yeah.
And it's about choices. You can either make the choice to spend 4 hours in the gym every day or spend time with your family. You get to make that choice. You get to make the choice of, do I drive through the drive-through today, get McDonald's for everybody, or do I go to the grocery store and make dinner? Well, you get that choice. And there are points in time in life where, right, you're going to take the easy path. Yep.
Yes.
We are going to hockey practice. We're going to soccer practice. We're going to wherever. And we got the kids in the car. And you know what? Fuck it. I don't want to do that tonight. I'm going to decide to go and get dinner on the way home. Great. You can't just take that as the easy path by default because, A, you're go broke today. Because it used to be you could take a family for four to McDonald's for $20. Now you can't walk out of it for less than $60. you know, it's just different. So when you start thinking about that, okay, for that $60, could I get a frozen pizza? Could I do mac and cheese at home? Could I do something? Can I pre-plan my meat? Can I create the habits to do something different to allow me to have the funds to go on vacation to do the thing? So I and it's a domino effect,
right?
Of sequence of events, and it starts with whatever that most important thing is to you along the way. And it impacts each generation the same. I think it might impact the younger generation differently because there's a lot more, I think, mental health awareness and stress over perfection, stress over all those things.
Correct. There is,
We've talked about that before where there's, you know, the leaders allowing younger talent to fail is less and less acceptable today because of the pressures of everybody's business. And that is an unfair expectation placed on younger individuals to not let them fail.
Right. Well, thank you for indulging me to walk down this path today.
Not a problem, sir. So what's the one habit you are expecting? What's the one thing that you want to go on record for here in middle of May that you are going to commit to a change?
Like my ears are red. You called me out.
I did.
They are red.
The one thing that I am committed to changing.
There's a lot of things to change.
There are. I'm just looking for one, though. One.
Yeah, I know. You're looking for one, and I'm stalling giving you an answer.
Shiny object. Here we go.
Shiny object. Where's the shiny object?
Right. Where's my fidget stick?
It's in my hand. It's the ink pen right here. Spinning it back and forth. The one thing I truly am working on is trying to be more consistent, being more present in the situation that I'm in.
Trying or doing?
Right now I'm trying. I'm going to be doing here right after this is I gotta be a dick, Brad. The thing that I'm doing is working on being more consistent, more present in the current situation I'm in. So like when I'm with my family, be with my family, not thinking about work, not thinking about clients, not thinking about other things other than being with my family. When I'm at work, be fully committed to work, not thinking about, oh, what are we going to do for dinner? What are we going to do on a vacation? What are we going to do for this? Like, be present in doing the things we need to be doing. And ultimately, it's holding myself accountable to those tasks as it relates to that time that I'm spending, wherever it is. If I'm working out, it's 100% dedicated to working out, not, oh, I'm going to work out, but I'm just going to get on the treadmill. I'm going to walk and I'm going to catch up on news. I'm going to catch up on stuff. I'm going to start brainstorming. I'm going to think about things and I'm going to take notes while I'm walking. Well, yeah, I'm multitasking, but I'm not being fully present in my health of, while I'm walking.
In anything. You're not being present on any of it at that point.
You know, it's giving me a good feel for, you know, my feels are good because, you know, I got a couple things knocked out at the same time. But at the end of the day, I wasn't being fully present to.
You get to artificially check three boxes off at one time.
So
with a grade of a C- on all three items.
Absolutely. So, Brad, let's flip it. What's your one thing?
Because I knew you were going to do this, and I've been thinking about this as you have been going through your stall tactic.
Yeah.
There are actually two things.
Oh.
There's actually three things.
Wow, trying to one-up everybody.
Three things that are in my hopper here. One is to drink 100 ounces of water a day.
Okay.
So that's one thing. This is my vice, right?
Yep.
Diet Pepsi. Yep.
The soda, the diet soda, Diet Pepsi, right? That is what I do. I don't do drugs. I don't drink a ton. I don't smoke. I don't do any of those other things. That's really about it. Uh-huh. So trying to figure out a way to replace one or two sodas a day with water consumption instead along the way. So might have to replace 2-to-1 ratio, probably water to soda, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that's one thing. Second thing is to get my 30 minutes of activity on my watch every day, something done. Mm-hmm. Right? Just 30 minutes of exercise or activity of structured, this is what I'm going to do, outside walk, inside walk, go to the gym, whatever. Mm-hmm. Third thing is to limit the negative of thoughts, a negative self-talk on the golf course every week. To eliminate that to produce better, a better mental game.
Just right? Don't shank it and you won't have those negative thoughts.
No. So that's the result, right? So
I know
so I can't get angry at the result. I have to look and analyze why that all happened along the way and not say, hey, you're a dumbass. Hey, you suck. Yep. Or what, right? Putting all that negative energy out into the universe doesn't help it get any better. And the less I do that, the easier it is to recover from dumb fuckery. So that part of it is a objective for the year, is to track the negative thought meter on on the golf course and work to eliminate that as well. So those are the three things that I got going on right now.
Excellent. Well, thank you for sharing that.
So that means that I got, I got like 2 weeks to figure this out, to get rid of the shit, so I can say by the time this one goes live and that everybody starts texting me, hey, how's it going?
On track. I am on track for that.
It is going to be a lot of, oh, great. You know, with our tens of listeners following up and saying, hey, how's that water consumption going? How's the activity going? Hey, how's being present happening? Right. Yep. So it's there. It's out there. So LFG, the accountability. Let's go,
baby. So,
all right, Mr. Doyle, have a wonderful rest of your day. And we'll talk soon.
All right. You do the same. Later, man.
Thank you for listening to Blue Collar BS, brought to you by Vision Forward Business Solutions and Professional Business Coaching, Inc. If you'd like to learn more on today's topic, just reach out to Steve Doyle or myself, Brad Herta. Please like, share, rate, and review this show, as feedback is the only way we can get better. Let's keep blue-collar businesses strong for generations to come.